The most famously slow animal on the planet needs little introduction. Native to Central America, the three-toed sloth spends its entire life hanging out, literally. It slumps on branches, sleeping up to 15 hours a day. It moves so little that green algae actually grows on its back. And when it does move, it tops out at a speed of 0.15 miles per hour. Perhaps you heard the story of the sloth that was mugged by two snails and a turtle. Police arrived and asked what happened. The sloth responded, "I don't know. It all happens so fast." The sloth has truly embraced life in the slow lane. And if you ever get to encounter a sloth, don't expect any interaction, because to the sloth, you're just not worth the energy. You know, this three-toed mammal reminds us of another mammal of the five-toed variety, native to couches all over North America, maybe even your own. Ah, yes, the master of lazy. We're in the middle of a series on the seven deadly sins, and today we're going to look at the sin of sloth. I feel like I should be giving this message lying down on a couch. Now, maybe if you're new to the 10th online community, maybe it strikes you as a little odd or neurotic that we would focus on sins. But I like to think of the seven deadly sins as seven ways that we get lost. Seven ways we get lost over and over and over again. But it's also seven ways to be found by God. Seven ways to turn back to God. And so as we look at sloth today, maybe you're also feeling relieved because you'd say, you know what, that is not my issue. I am thinking of a coworker right now. Maybe I'll forward the link of this sermon to them. But me, I'm not lazy, just the opposite. I'm incredibly busy, part-time jobs, night class. I was at the gym this morning. This week, I guess I'm off the hook. But is the sin of sloth really about being a lazy bones? And if it is that really deadly? I mean, that seems a bit of a stretch, doesn't it? I've never heard of anyone dying of too many naps, have you? Now, sure, the Bible does warn about physical laziness. In Proverbs 6, we're told to look to a model, not the three-toed sloth, but another creature. "Go to the ant, you slacker. Observe its ways and become wise. It prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. How long will you stay in bed, you slacker?" Wow, it's been a while since I've heard that term, slacker. It reminds me of Principal Strickland in the movie Back to the Future. "McFly, you're a slacker." Now, I want you to notice here that the slacker or the sloth is inattentive and asleep in more ways than one. Physically asleep, sure, but also asleep to the importance of work. But what if physical laziness was just like one symptom of something deeper, more pervasive, more lethal? Can we become inattentive to God, spiritually asleep? Is the three-toed sloth a picture of our current spiritual life? It seems to me that sloth is the most misunderstood and maybe the most common of the seven deadly sins. And over the next few minutes, I want to explore this with you by asking a few questions. First, what is sloth? What are we talking about? And second, what are the signs of it creeping into our lives? And third, what do we do about it? How do we turn to God in our sloth? So first, what is it? Well, to understand sloth as one of the big seven, we have to go back to our spiritual ancestors who first put it on the list. See, back in the fourth century, after Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, believers retreated into the desert and established communities, and they were known as the Desert Fathers and Mothers. And they lived in these little huts, and they devoted themselves to prayer and scripture. And they started with so much zeal, believing this was their calling. This was the most important thing that they could be doing. But after a few weeks, they were afflicted by a certain temptation, and they called it acedia, which was later translated to sloth. It was known as the noonday demon, and they said that every believer had to face it. It was the noontime demon, because imagine this, there you are praying, and in the morning, the day is fresh, it's cool, your motivation and hope is high. In the evening, you would eat with others, relax, but at midday, the sun was at its highest point. Their energy was at its lowest point. And as they prayed in these little huts, it seemed like time stood still. It was as if the sun didn't move, the clock didn't move. You ever been in a class or a Zoom meeting when it felt like the clock didn't move? You ever been in a sermon? Actually, don't answer that. In that moment, it feels like nothing changes. It felt like their prayers did nothing. And they started to ask themselves, what's the point? We've all been here, haven't we? We pray and we feel like nothing happens, no change, no fruit, no effect. Same problems, same issues. Listen to how one writer puts it and see if you can relate with this. They said that a general weariness sets in. Everything becomes burdensome, tedious, and dull. And things that formerly fired us with zeal seem intolerably stupid. Prayer gets stuck like dry peanut butter on the roof of the mouth, and we become discouraged with ourselves, impatient with others, and indifferent to everything around us. The fathers and mothers of the desert called this spiritual ailment acedia. Literally translated, acedia means a lack of care. Which brings us to our first sign of sloth, apathy. Apathy. Apathy is the place of saying, I don't really care anymore. You know, someone asked another friend, what's the difference between ignorance and apathy? And the answer, I don't know and I don't care. Apathy is what sets in for athletes when they do a drill 1,000 times and they don't see any improvement. Or the student who boosts her study time and yet her grades stand still. Apathy creeps in for every believer who's ever prayed for healing or for a job or to get into a course and it never happened. Of course, it's not always this way. There are times in our prayer life and our disciplines and they feel like a lifeline, like oxygen to our souls. They make a difference. We pray and we see fruit. And we know how crucial these disciplines are for our lives. But then we enter a noonday season and nothing changes. And we start to check out. And when we check out, apathy checks in. I don't really care anymore. Our hunger for God fades. We become inattentive to God. We become careless, spiritually careless. And spiritually speaking, we're like that sloth on the tree, unmoved, unresponsive, spiritually asleep. It brings to mind the story of Jesus and his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26. We know that Jesus is troubled to the point of death. He's facing his greatest test in life. And he asks his friends, can you stick with me? Can I lean on you? Can I count on you? And I think we'd like to think if we were in that situation where a friend needed us in the middle of the night, we would rise to that occasion because we care enough. But Jesus goes off to pray and returns and finds his disciples sleeping. Couldn't you stick it out with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. And the scene repeats itself twice. The disciples can't stay awake and attentive to Jesus. He was asking them, to see how important this was to stay awake and alert, to care enough to be with him in that moment. But they couldn't or they wouldn't. Acedia, sloth, sets in. Speaking of noonday, in many ways, it feels like we're in the noonday of a pandemic, doesn't it? A pandemic that has lasted far longer than anyone thought. And some days, maybe most days, it feels like not much is really changing. Add to that that so many of us have lost external structures in our lives to keep us grounded, like going to the office or going to class or gathering in person for worship with others. And maybe we've gotten away from rhythms that keep us growing spiritually. We feel a weariness, a vague sense of disconnection from God. Apathy. Where does apathy show up in your life? Do you see signs of spiritual apathy in your own life? Well, in addition to apathy, another sign, a second sign of sloth is avoidance, escapism. Doing almost anything but the thing that we are supposed to do. Escapism is, and avoidance is losing ourselves in, I don't know, trivial things. Living an unfocused life. You know, back to the desert fathers and mothers for a moment. Sloth, they said, often went from apathy to avoidance, where the believers lost their focus. During prayer, they would just stare out the window, daydreaming, zoning out with thoughts of, I wonder if another community in the desert is better. I wonder if I missed my calling. I wonder if we need firewood. I wonder what we're going to eat for dinner. Why is my hut so small and that guy's over there so big? They would pass time with any kind of distraction to keep from doing the task at hand. Procrastination is not doing nothing. It's doing everything but the one thing you need to do. And so sloth shows up as being inattentive to the most important things in life. Did you know that busyness is often a sign of sloth? The workaholic, says theologian Peter Kreeft, may be as guilty as the couch potato because their constant activity keeps them from attending to the most important things in life. As the saying goes, control your schedule or your schedule will control you. But let's be honest, we have no shortage of distractions. Instead of looking out the windows like our desert fathers and mothers, instead we look at our phones, preaching to myself here. Netflix, shopping, social media. In our restlessness, we lose ourselves and we scroll endlessly. What are we looking for? Just something. Something to get our attention, something to move us, anything that helps us to feel minutes, hours go by. And instead of doing something that replenishes us, feeds us, nourishes us, it hollows us out. Richard John Neuhaus defines contemporary sloth as evenings without number, obliterated by television. Evenings neither of entertainment nor of education, but a narcotic defense against time and duty. Not education, not entertainment, just filling time mindlessly. Do you see this in your own life? Apathy and avoidance can be deadly in our relationships. Take a couple. Call them Todd and Sandy. They are the quintessential power couple. Both professionals, they're regarded as rising stars in their workplaces, overachievers, high performers. They get the job done. But not only that, they also are active in their community, helping out with charities, always bringing value to whatever they do. But the thing is that most people don't see is that every evening, they come home completely spent. They've given their best to everyone else. And to be honest, there's not much left for each other. There are growing cracks in their marriage, big ones. But when they get home, they retreat to different corners of the house. Sandy zones out with a few work emails, wine, and Netflix. Todd watches sports, scrolls endlessly through social media. They used to try to listen, to forgive, to work on their marriage, but lately they've just kind of given up. Sloth has set in. If they're honest, they're just not sure they really care anymore. That's a scary place to be. Their distractions are a way to numb themselves from the pain of the crumbling marriage. Apathy, avoidance. Perhaps nothing kills our spiritual and relational lives like sloth. Respected author Scott Peck says, the primary reason people fail in relationships is laziness. Because love is work. It requires attention and forgiveness and reconciliation. And sometimes it's just easier to avoid it. The essence of non-love, he says, is relational laziness. Here's why sloth is so lethal. It is the actual enemy of love. The great commandment, our call, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But think about this. What's the opposite of love? Is it hatred? No, it's apathy. It's indifference. It's saying, I don't really care. So to be in sloth, to sit in sloth, is to be in opposition to the God who is love. And that's why this is so deadly. So what do we do about it? How do we turn from sloth back to God? Maybe right now, like me, you're feeling deeply convicted and challenged by these words. We thought sloth was out there, and now we see it's in here. So what do we do? When we see sloth creep in, I want to invite you to two things. One's a practice, another is a posture that will fight sloth. First, whenever we see sloth, really, or any sin in our lives, the first response is confession. Confession. To confess is to agree with God about your sin. As specifically as possible, to tell it like it is, to own it, to call a spade a spade. To say, Lord, I've allowed apathy to move in. I've been inattentive. I've been unresponsive. I've been spiritually sleepwalking. I've let go of all kinds of important rhythms that keep me connected to you, but I want to hunger for you, God. Or maybe the honest prayer is, I want to hunger for you. There's power in naming it, in naming our sin. And there's tremendous power in naming it before a trusted friend. Confess your sins one to another, it says in the book of James, and you will be healed. We confess to God for forgiveness, absolutely. And yet we can find healing when we confess before another. In fact, the very act of confessing sloth to another is an important step in breaking inertia in our lives. Find someone that you can have these kinds of soul-level conversations with. Confession. In addition to confession, I want to offer you one posture to practice that fights sloth, and that's this: attentiveness. The posture of attentiveness. See, if sloth is being inattentive to God, spiritually asleep, then attentiveness wakes us up to the presence of God. Paying attention is perhaps the most basic form of love. No relationship survives without it. Maybe it's a prayer each morning that says, God, here I am. Open my eyes to you. Help me be responsive to what you're calling me to today. In the meetings, in the classes, in the Zoom calls with my family, help me to be alert to all that you're calling me to today. The response to sloth is to wake up. Hear these words from Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. Wake up. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then. How you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. That's attentiveness. Attentiveness is the refusal to sleepwalk through life, to sleepwalk through my spiritual life. Attentiveness in the midst of distraction says, what am I called to be doing right now? What am I supposed to be doing right now? Who am I called to love right now in this present moment? To put distractions away, to put my phone away, to listen, to pay attention, to love. Finally, the way out of sloth is really to look to Christ. Christ was the one who was attentive to his Father at every moment. He was attentive to people. He had meals with friends, with so-called sinners, and he was attentive to you and to me, even on the cross. On the cross, we don't see a picture of apathy or of indifference. We see the God who is love. Because we are in Christ and Christ is in us, we truly can, with God's help, overcome sloth. Let me conclude with words from Romans 8:11 as a prayer over you. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did to Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. May God bring us and awaken us from sloth to be fully alive to him today. Amen.